May God's grace and peace be with us as we assemble with him in our presence this morning. And as I greeted Ben, I said, well, this day has come. Because it was early in the year, I don't remember exactly when, but maybe in the summer that he extended the invitation. And he said, well, it really should be good because you've had plenty of time to prepare. And I said, well, you've had plenty of time to pull back your invitation too. So, do I open this from this side?
The other side. Had a 50-50 chance there.
Diet. I could begin by asking for a show of hands of how many of you are on a diet. Well, let me define that word, and then you might change your idea whether or not you would raise your hand. I assume and I hope that about a month ago, many of us, as I did, we pushed back from the table and said, I need to go on a diet. And in these few days, maybe you'll repeat that. And as we look at coming the new year, how many might put that into a resolution that I'm going to go on a diet. I need to do this. I need to do that. I'm going to go on a diet. Diet. The kinds of food a person usually eats. Are we all on a diet? We all usually eat food, don't we? So we are on a diet. Now, that's not usually what we think of when we see this word, and probably not what I thought of as I started to prepare this lesson. This is probably what we more usually think of as a diet. A special course of food to which one restricts oneself, either to lose weight or for medical reasons. There is probably the more common thoughts concerning this word diet that we think of. You could go to the bookstore, any bookstore in this town or any town, and go down a section. You might just go to a library, and you will find books and books and books, names and names and names of the grapefruit diet and the cheeseburger diet and the french fry diet and the supreme pizza diet and the lettuce diet and the water diet and named after people and named after all different kinds of things. And I'm not here to promote any of those. But there are reasons for our dieting in a specific physical way. One of them is to be healthy. Another one might be that we want to lose some weight, or we just want to improve our self-image. Those would be what I would classify as being probably the three main reasons that we would want to go on a diet. Now, if I go on a physical diet, how many of those are guaranteed? How many have ever been on a diet and thought, well, it's going to make me more healthy? And maybe it did to some extent. It didn't reach the level that you wanted. Maybe you went on a certain diet to lose weight. And, well, that didn't quite work either. And maybe you followed the diet to the letter. But maybe it just didn't bring about the self-image that you wanted to create. So we don't have guarantees with any of these diets that in the books that you might find at the library or the local bookstore. But there's a diet that we find in the Scripture, and we're just going to give it this name this morning. Well, let's just put it over here. Let's call it the Jesus diet. It might help you lose weight. It might improve your self-image. But I guarantee that if you are on and stick to and stay with this Jesus diet, it will have benefits after this life is over. The diets which we have discussed up to this point are would be, if they work to 100% of their need, or what your perception of, if it works to 100%, it's only for this life. It's only for this earth. But when we have ourselves placed on the Jesus diet, we will have benefits going beyond this earth. The first thing about this Jesus diet we find in Matthew 5 and 6, or that I want to discuss this morning. And it says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Blessed are they who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Now, that word is better rendered, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. It's not as the little boy was asked, what does that mean? What does it mean to hunger and thirst after righteousness? And he said, well, that means after church we go home and eat. That's not the meaning of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. But this is hungering and thirsting for righteousness. Do we have the pursuit of righteousness? And I was interested in the discussion and the question that I believe Eric asked. Well, what is righteousness? How does it? How do we live a righteous life? How do we be righteous? And so we have to have this desire to pursue righteousness. We seek it. We desire it. Our motivation is to be righteous. A different motivation than we would have with a physical diet to maybe become more healthy, maybe to lose weight, to improve our self-image. So, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Then I want to go back to the book of Isaiah for a scripture here that I believe fills us in for some of these things about this diet that we're pursuing this morning. Isaiah chapter 55, the first two verses. Think about this concerning the diet which we're thinking of this morning. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. When you have no money, come, buy, and eat. Come, buy wine and milk, without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. This diet requires no money. You are probably able to pick up one of these dietary guidebooks at a very reasonable price, and maybe you can get one in certain places for nothing. And it doesn't cost us to get this bread, to get this water of life. buy it without money. That's a phrase we just can't put into our minds. How can we buy something without money? But this indicates that it is without cost that we can be on this diet. And as I said, you have benefits beyond this earth. The cost has been paid. Romans 5 and 8. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So Christ paid the price so that we can be on this diet. There are two basic needs of life that this diet provides. One is water. And if we look at John chapter 4, where you will be shortly in your study of the book of John, we see Jesus conversing with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman. In John chapter 4, it is verses 4 through 15. I'll not take time because we are familiar with that, I'm sure. I want to look at verse 13. Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again." He was referring to that water that was coming from the well. If you drink of this water, you'll be thirsty again. And you drink again, and you'll be thirsty again. And you drink again, you will be thirsty again. It won't satisfy your thirst. But he said in verse 15, or the woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." I don't know if she really understood what she was saying, but I think we might say by accident she's telling us what we need to know about it. That if we do go to the water of Christ, we will find out we need that water. And when we find out we need it, there won't be a want because our need is fulfilled. Needs and wants. We need the water, and we continually supply ourselves with that water. And then we find out there's not a want. There's never a lacking of that water in our lives. It is there. "Sir, give me this water." And then the second part that we want to look at of this is bread. Oftentimes we hear of prisoners, people who are incarcerated, different types of things, whether by something they have done or becoming a prisoner of war. Their diet may be bread and water. And it may be not very good water sometimes, and it may not be very good bread. Bread and water. We would try to stay away from that as our physical diet. But that is the basis. That's the basic two parts of our spiritual diet. In John chapter 6, Jesus, in a couple of verses here, John chapter 6 in verse 32, Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who has given you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." Jesus was speaking of himself. "I am bread. I am your life. I am your sustenance. I am what you desire. I am what you need." And that's the bread that we need. And when we have Jesus providing that sustenance, we don't need anything else. Our wants and our needs are provided by Jesus. And he told them, it wasn't Moses who gave them the bread, the manna, but it was God from heaven. And he says, "Now the bread is here. I am the bread. Let me provide for you." So this is bread that never spoils, never gets old, never gets stale. And the verse 34, the disciples said, "Sir," they said, "from now on, give us this bread." That should be our desire. Give us this bread. Give us Jesus. Give us nothing else. We want to know about Jesus. We want to live like Jesus. We want to understand things like Jesus. Many times dieting, might include this, fasting. That has different connotations to us, and it actually has different meanings, physical and spiritual, motivation for both of them. One method of dieting is physically to reduce the intake of calories to lose weight. And we all are aware of that. If we burn more calories than we take in, we will lose weight. That's just the way our bodies are made. Fasting physically for spiritual gain, for the purpose of focusing on God. So we can fast physically to gain spiritually. I have 9 references here to where the scripture talks about prayer and fasting. I'm not going to go to them, but if you would like to have the list that I have, or you can develop your own list. How many of us believe that we should pray? But when we point out 9 scriptures that talk about prayer and fasting, how many of us believe that we should fast? As a result of a recent congregational study at Lawrence, our home congregation, we have called for congregational fasts. They are voluntary. You may do various types of fasting, but as we regularly pray, we feel that fasting is as important because it is commonly connected with prayer and fasting. And again, we're talking about the Jesus diet. What about Jesus's prayer and fasting? Let's look at Luke chapter 4. In the first 3 verses, Luke 4. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. He fasted for these 40 days. Then if we look at verse 13, we find what happens at the end. When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. And Luke gives us the impression, and we'll find a different impression in Matthew, but I'm not quarreling with either one of them. The impression of Luke is that during the 40 days, Jesus fasted and was tempted during the 40 days. Now let's look at what Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 4. In the first 3 verses, Matthew 4, 1 through 3. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. So here, the impression that Matthew leaves is that after 40 days, Satan came and tempted him. And then, verse 11, Satan went away and the angels came and attended to him. But Luke gives us the impression that the temptation was during the 40 days, all from day 1 to day 40. And as I say, I'm not bringing issue with either one of those. The basic thing is Jesus was fasting, he was tempted, he was weak, he was subject to the temptations of Christ, of Satan, but he resisted them in every way. By using the scripture. So we have this all combined. We have the fasting and we have the temptation coming. And Jesus prepared to withstand those temptations. And I'm certain that the prayer, the strength of God, his Father being with him, he was able to overcome. I know that he was able to overcome, and know that he did. So there was not a the physical need that Jesus had for fasting, but it was spiritual. And as I said, in our congregation, the times that we have called for a voluntary fast, if you wished to do it, fine. If you didn't, or you could participate in many different ways. There would be the options. Okay, if you would like to fast from a certain food for over a period of time, or if you would like to fast from complete food for a day, there are many ways. And as Jesus said, I don't want to know how you're fasting. When you're fasting, don't go tell someone, well, I fasted Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. Look what I did. That's not the purpose. So the only person that I know that did fasting was myself. I think others did as well, but I don't know that. But it was for our spring meeting and our VBS. We decided that by fasting, we were going to focus on God, on the project or the program that was coming up. And if you thought about, okay, I'm going to fast and not have an evening meal. And when it came time to normally eat your evening meal, what did you think of? This is the time I would eat my meal. I'm not eating my meal because I'm thinking of what God is going to do in our meeting or in our VBS or in anything. And this can be personal. It can be congregational. So I believe fasting can be a part of our Christian life. Now, a last point for our consideration. Fasting can include abstaining from a certain food, maybe not all foods, for a period of time. Example, you say, I'm going to not have desserts for this day, these days, this week. I'm not going to have the double cheeseburger and fries for this period of time. As Christians, I suggest to you that do we not fast 6 days for the Lord's Supper? In thinking about this, and you're free to agree or disagree with me, but I think there's a fast involved in the breaking of bread, the partaking of the Lord's Supper. Do we fast from that for the 6 days when we do not partake of it? And so we break that fast when we drink the grape juice, eat the bread. And there's a purpose for that. I just don't recall any time during the week that I drink grape juice and eat unleavened bread. I might drink grape juice, and even if I did the two, there's not the purpose for which we have done it this morning. So we have that period of fasting, and we can think during the week, I'm not doing these two things. And why am I doing them? Because I'm to do them on the first day of the week. The disciples came together to break bread. That was the purpose for their assembly, for their gathering. And so we break that fast. And as I go through the week, if I think about this, and when I think about it, I think about I'm fasting from that until I can gather and break that fast as with the congregation. And when we do that, 1 Corinthians 11:26 says, we proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And in 1 Corinthians 11:24 and 1 Corinthians 11:25, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. That is not just a wise saying. That's just not something that sounds good. That's not just something that is put on the front of this table. Do this in remembrance of me. That was a command. And so we keep the commands that Jesus has given to us, looking forward to the promise for the fulfillment of those commands. Do this in remembrance of me. So thinking about fasting, thinking about dieting, if you have looked at the song that I've selected, and Bob has
agreed to lead as our invitation song, All Things Are Ready. Come to the feast. There's a feast of bread and water that you can get at no grocery store. You can't find the recipes for this in any of the bookstores, any online places where you might look for recipes. But this feast is free. Jesus paid the price. And with prayer and fasting, I hope that we think of these things. And as the new year comes, it's fine to go on a fast. It's fine to go on a diet. But let's stick with our spiritual fast, our spiritual diet, and assemble, as Jesus has said, in remembrance of Him, to eat of these things. And to fast from those things during the week. But it draws our mind to the sacrifice that He made. So the invitation says to those who are in need to come. And let us, if you are in need of that invitation to come, let that happen as we stand, as we sing the invitation song.